طيب، بسم الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we are going to discuss one final topic from Lata'if al-Ma'arif of al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah. And in case I forget to mention it in the end, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next week we're going to start a new course. So, our topic tonight from the book of Al-Imam Ibn Rajab is the topic that follows the topic that we discussed last week, yani related to the last week's topic, related to the last 10 days of Ramadan. And before we look at today's topic, we just want to quickly refresh our memory of few of the points that Imam Ibn Rajab mentioned last week concerning those things which the Prophet ﷺ used to do, particularly in the last 10 days or nights of Ramadan, that he didn't do in the earlier days of Ramadan. And Ibn Rajab mentions 5 things. And as I mentioned last week, 4 of them are directly taken from authentic hadith, and the 5th one is from the practice of the Salaf. Yani the 4th one actually came as number 4, but 4 of them are directly derived from hadith, and one of them, the 4th one that he mentions, is derived from the practice of the Salaf. Naam. So, first one, or one of them?
I wasn't here last week.
Okay, you weren't here last week. Fadlu, yes. From the things that the Prophet ﷺ used to do in the last 10 nights of Ramadan that he didn't do in the earlier nights.
He would yusalli bin-nas, he would gather the people. So reported from Hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu that he led the people in prayer 3 nights in the last 10 nights.
Okay, he led the people in prayer 3 of the nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Okay, this is more specific to something that happened on an occasion. But what we talked about last week was generally what he did, what he always did in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Not that particular time, alaykum salam, when he didn't gather the people, but the people, joined him on those 3 nights, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and he led them in prayer for, one third of the night, or one half of the night, or almost the whole night. Naam. Tayyib. This is, something that certainly did occur. Naam. I don't know who had the hand up first. Do any of you know? Huh? He did? Fadl, Abdul Haq. He used to do i'tikaf. He used to do i'tikaf in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, specifically, as opposed to the other nights of Ramadan. Yani i'tikaf, somebody help me, i'tikaf, what did the Shaykh say is the meaning, the core meaning of i'tikaf? Anybody remember? Naam. لزوم المسجد لطاعة الله. Okay, that's one of the definitions that the scholars have given. Naam. And he's sticking to the masjid and staying in the masjid for the purpose of obedience to Allah. Yani worshipping Allah. Naam.
Seclude yourself from the people.
Uh-huh.
To be in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Naam. Seclude yourself from the people to be in contact with Allah. Yani cutting off all relations with the creation in order to connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to engage in worship. Naam. Anything else anybody want to add? Okay. So, one of the things that Ibn Rajab mentioned last week that the Prophet ﷺ gave careful attention to in the last 10 nights, not in the other nights, was i'tikaf. Second one, another one.
The
Second Laylatul Qadr. Yani, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he used to enter into i'tikaf for the purpose of yani trying to catch, reach, yani to be engaged in the worship of Allah during the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. Naam. What else? Shu'ayb. He used to wake his family up. He used to wake his family up, yani meaning, yani in the night, when he was praying, at some point, yani if his family was not praying, he would wake them up and make sure that they also prayed some part of the night. And some of the Salaf, they made it clear that this is not just for a spouse, yani a husband waking up his wife, a wife waking up her husband, but even the children who are able, that they should also be awakened and yani encouraged to engage in worship. Yani in the same way that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in used to encourage the children to fast, even if they hadn't reached the age of fasting, to pray, even if they hadn't reached the age where they were required to pray, and so on. Now, another point that he mentioned last week, Abdul Haq. He used to tighten his belt. That's one of the things that he mentioned. He used to tighten his belt, tighten his waist garment, yani, but meaning what, yani, by tightening the waist garment? Now, Abdul Karim. Yani, meaning that he would abstain from having relations, yani, with his wives in the last 10 nights for the purpose of being occupied completely with the worship of Allah. Now,
some of the ulama also said this is a kinaya for ishtihad fil ibadah.
Some of the scholars said this is also a kinaya, yani, an indirect way of expressing the idea of him doing, making ijtihad in worship. Okay, Ibn Rajab said these are the two meanings that the scholars have given. The more correct meaning, according to Ibn Rajab, is that it is, yani, the meaning of it is that he abstained from having contact, yani, engaging his wives. That this is the more correct meaning. And why did he say this is the more correct meaning?
Because from the shurut of itikaf, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, to not have relations with your spouses while you are mu'taqif.
From the shurut or conditions of i'tikaf, that a person shouldn't have relations with their spouse while they're in i'tikaf. And the Prophet ﷺ used to be in i'tikaf in the last 10 nights. So it's clear that he abstained from and engaging his wives. And also another proof that he gives is a more even, yani, equally important proof is the narration of Aisha of that hadith that's in Bukhari and Muslim, where in the narration of Bukhari, he said that she said that he used to, yani, tighten his waist garment. In the narration of Muslim, she said that he used to jadda wa shadda, yani he used to make ijtihad and he used to tighten his waist garment. So that means that these are two different things. Tightening the waist garment is not the ijtihad. The ijtihad in the narration of Imam Muslim from Aisha is that he used to make ijtihad and he used to tighten his waist belt. That means that, yani, the tightening of the waist belt is more likely that the meaning is abstaining from wives. In any case, and that's some of the discussion that we had last week. What else? There's still something left that we didn't mention yet. Waleed. Yeah, he used to spend most of the night, almost the whole night, engaged in worship. Yani, that was one of the things that was specific to the last 10 days of Ramadan. Yani, ahya laylahu, that he used to enliven the night, meaning he didn't spend the night sleeping, rather he would be up, awake, praying, and engaging in worship. Now, that's four, and there's one matter left that didn't come from the sunnah, it didn't come from the hadith, I mean, but it came from the sahaba and the tabi'een and the salaf. Now, yani, Ibn Rajab says, igtisaluhu baina al-isha'een, meaning? Between the two Ishas, yani between Maghrib and Isha. And this, he discussed in some detail about the importance of taking a ghusl, using sweet-smelling, yani, scent, scenting also the masjid, wearing, yani, adorning yourself with the best clothing, and so on. That this was the way of the Salaf, that they used to, yani, do like this. Huh? In the nights in which they hoped that it would be Laylatul Qadr. On those nights, they treated those nights like the day of Jumu'ah or the day of Eid. And the day of Jumu'ah and the day of Eid, what? You take a ghusl, you use some itr, you put on your best clothing. Huh? So that's what they used to do. Because this was a very important night. And there was a very important gathering and very important prayer that they were going to attend if it was Laylatul Qadr, right? Now, so these are the things that we mentioned last week. I mean, there were some other points, but these are the main things that we wanted to talk about. The five things that Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, mentions that the Prophet ﷺ used to attend to in the last 10 nights, in which he didn't attend to in the nights preceding that. Okay, tonight our topic is the following topic in the book. It came under the month of Shawwal. Yani, that was the last topic of Ramadan, and this was the month of Shawwal, Al-Majlis Al-Awwal. Al-Majlis Al-Awwal, the first sitting, Fi Siyami Shawwalin Kullihi Wa Ittaba'i Ramadana Bi Siyami Sittati Ayyamin Minhu. Yani, the first majlis for Shawwal is concerning Siyam Shawwal Kullihi. Yani, fasting the month of Shawwal. Yani, fasting days from the month of Shawwal, from anywhere from the whole of that month. Fasting days during the month of Shawwal. During the whole month of Shawwal, yani, there's fasting. Meaning any time in the month, in the beginning or in the middle or in the end, except the day of Eid. Wa itba'a Ramadan bi siyamin, and following up the fast of Ramadan with a fast of 6 days from, yani, minhu min Shawwal, min the month of Shawwal. So our topic tonight is specifically the month of Shawwal, yani the fasting of the 6 days in the month of Shawwal following Ramadan, following the fast of Ramadan, yani its significance, the significance of these 6 days and some of its benefits, and some of its benefits. Yani, from amongst the benefits of this fast is that which is obvious and well known from the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, which is what the author begins with. Yani, from amongst the benefits of the fast of the 6 days of Shawwal is that which he begins with. خرج مسلم من حديث أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال. What is the meaning of this? نعم محمد علي. And add 6 from Shawwal, kana kasiyam al-dahr.
It can be like fasting of the whole year.
It can be like fasting of the whole year. Okay, I just want to specify a little bit here in this hadith. Man sama Ramadan, okay? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasted Ramadan. Does this mean whoever fasted 2 days in Ramadan, or 3 days, or 10 days, or the whole month?
The whole month.
The whole month. Man sama Ramadan. Yani, if a person fasted half of Ramadan, can we say he fasted Ramadan? We can say he fasted some days from Ramadan. But the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasted Ramadan. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَهُ. أَتْبَعَهُ, what does the meaning of أَتْبَعَهُ?
Followed.
Cause, yani something to come after it. Yani it's from أَفْعَلَ, يُفْعِلُ. أَتْبَعَ. He caused something to follow Ramadan. What is it? That he caused to follow 6 days from the month of Shawwal. Here, this is very important also. Shaykh al-Thaymeen discussed this in some detail. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَهُ. Yani he fasted the whole month of Ramadan, and then he follows the fast of the whole month of Ramadan with 6 days from Shawwal. Kana kasiyam ad-dahri. Then it is like in reward he has fasted ad-dahr. Yani the meaning of ad-dahr from some other narration of the hadith, as-sana, yani kamila, the whole year. Okay, perhaps I'm going to just look. Yeah, I'm going to look just quickly at the note of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen concerning this hadith. Yani, Riyad al-Salihin, in his explanation, Riyad al-Salihin, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he talks about this issue of fasting, the 6 days of Shawwal, and the meaning of this hadith following it, yani, following Ramadan with the 6 days of Shawwal. He said the scholars have explained this, yani, the meaning that is like the fasting all whole year, is that is because al-hasana bi-ashri amthaliha, because a good deed is equal to 10 like it. Yani, it's multiplied by 10. So therefore, the month of Ramadan is 1 month, it will be like 10 months. And the 6 days will be like 10 times 6, 60 days, yani, or 2 months. So 10 months and 2 months, 12 months, that's the whole year. Then the Shaykh says, and this is very important here, he says, فَعَلَى مَنْ فَعَلَى هَذَا يَسُنُّ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِذَا أَتَمَّ صِيَامَ رَمَضَانِ أَنْ يَسُومَ سِتًّا مِنْ شَوَالٍ. So it is from the sunnah, based upon this, yani, meaning, it is from the sunnah that a person, if he atamma siyam Ramadan, if he completed the fast of Ramadan, meaning the whole month, then he should fast 6 days from Shawwal. And then the Shaykh says, وَلِيَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا لَا تُصَامُ قَبْلَ الْقَضَىٰ يَعْنِي. And you should, everybody should know that nobody should fast these days, 6 days of Shawwal, before Al-Qadha. If somebody has days to make up from Ramadan, they should not fast the 6 days of Shawwal before the Qadha. The Qadha, yani making up the days of Ramadan, is obligatory. Fasting 6 days of Shawwal is voluntary. How can a person give more importance to that which is obligatory or that which is voluntary? Shaykh says, so everyone must know that these days should not be fast before the Qadha. Yani, if a person, لو كان على الإنسان يوم واحد من رمضان وصام الستة فإنه لا يحصل على أجر ذلك. If a person had only one day to make up from Ramadan and they fasted the 6 days, yani instead of making up that one day first, they fasted the 6 days without making up that day, then he will not get this reward of having fasted for the whole year, like fasting for the whole year. Why is that? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, من صام رمضان, yani whoever fasted the month of Ramadan. So if a person has one day from Ramadan, he has not, yani, fasted the month of Ramadan. He has fasted a lot of it, most of it, but he hasn't fasted Ramadan. Rather, he has fasted some of the days of Ramadan. So whoever has a day, then he has fasted 29 days. Whoever has 2 days to make up, he has fasted 28 days, yani he hasn't fasted the whole month. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasted Ramadan, meaning the whole month. So if a person fasted Ramadan, and then, after they completed the month of Ramadan, they fasted for 6 days. After it, from Shawwal, it will be as though they have fasted for the whole year. And then he said, it doesn't matter if they fast from the second day after the Eid. Yani meaning, the day of Eid, the first of Shawwal, it doesn't matter if they fasted immediately after the day of Eid, the next day, the second day of Shawwal, and then they followed it with fasting more days to complete the six, or if they fasted after 2 days or 3 days, meaning they don't have to fast immediately after the day of Eid, they can fast the next day, or they can wait 2 days or 3 days or whatever. It's open. Or even it doesn't matter if they fasted mutatabiya, following consecutive 6 days, or if they fasted mutafarrika, yani a day here and a day here, and however they want to do, yani al-amra fi hadha wasiya, yani they can do it any way they want to. They can start immediately, they can wait, they can fast them together, they can fast them separately. لكن لو أنك تساهلت حتى خرج الشوال وصمت فإنها لا تكون بهذا الأجر. So if a person taking it easy, procrastinating. It's not the meaning of procrastinating, but anyway, the same result, right? If a person didn't take the matter seriously and they took the matter lightly, and therefore the month of Shawwal ended and they didn't fast yet, then if they fasted after Shawwal, they will not get this reward. Unless, the Shaykh says, Allahumma illa man kana ma'zuran, مثل أن يكون مريضا أو امرأة نفساء أو مفاسرا ولم يصم في الشوال وقضاها في ذي القعدة فلا بس. This is Shaykh's view concerning this matter. And he says, if a person just took the matter lightly and they didn't fast those 6 days in Shawwal and they let the month get away from them and then they fasted after, they will not get this reward. Allahumma illa. Except in the case of a person who was excused. They were ma'adhur. Like the person who was sick and they couldn't fast, or a woman who was the bleeding after childbirth, or a person was a traveler and they couldn't fast. And if they had an excuse and they didn't fast in Shawwal, and then they made up those 6 days in Dhul Qa'dah, or Dhul Qa'dah, should be with Fatha, Naam, Dhul Qa'dah, the Shaykh says, Fala bas, there's no harm in this. Yani meaning he's saying if a person was excused during the month of Shawwal and they fasted afterwards, inshallah it will be accepted. Allahu A'lam. Anyway, that's what he said concerning this, and I thought that this was worth bringing to our attention what the Shaykh says here. The most important of it is what? That the days of Shawwal should not be given precedence over the obligatory fast of Ramadan. If a person missed some days and they have to make them up, they should make them up first. After that, they can make these days however they want, together, separately, consecutively, or in any kind of way. Okay, after this, go back to Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. He says, after mentioning this hadith, he says, الَّذِينَ استحبوا صيام الست من شوال اختلفوا في صفة صيامها على ثلاثة أقوال. الذين استحبوا صيام الست من شوال اختلفوا في صفة صيامها على ثلاثة الأقوال. The meaning of the statement, and then I want to ask you, what do you understand from it? I'm going to translate it for you, and then I'm going to ask you what you understand from it. The translation is easier than for you to answer the next question. Translation is, those who considered it commendable, praiseworthy, beloved, yani mustahab, to fast these 6 days from Shawwal, those who considered it mustahab, they differed concerning the way in which this fasting should take place, and there are three sayings or three views of the scholars. الَّذِينَ استحبوا صيام الست من شوال اختلفوا في صفة صيامها على ثلاثة أقوال. Okay, what do you understand from this? What might the direct meaning and then the indirect meaning? Let's see, Ahmed just walked in.
And it's three different ways that a person can fast.
Okay, so there's three different ways that a person can fast the 6 days of Shawwal. Okay, that's one meaning. That's the obvious meaning. What else can we understand from this? That might not be so obvious. Now,
what I understood is that.
And I read it three times purposely, and not just to waste time, but I wanted you to have a chance to think about it. Now,
the Sheikh, he mentioned a group of ulama that hold a view of this being mustahab.
Now, he mentioned a group of scholars who hold this fast as being mustahab. Now,
that means there's another group that have another opinion.
Ah, that's the point. That's not obvious. That what he's saying here is that there are those who hold it to be mustahab. Guess what? So there are also those who do not consider it to be mustahab. So not all of the scholars of Islam consider fasting 6 days of Shawwal as being mustahab. Was that understood when I was reading this? Okay, this is how yani, we have to be thinking and sometimes paying attention to every word, because the scholars, they don't use words recklessly. They actually use words that have a meaning. There's an intent behind it. When he said those who consider it mustahab, that's an indication that there are those who don't consider it mustahab, who do not consider it mustahab. Yeah. He mentioned the hadith, right? That whoever fasted the month of Ramadan and followed with 6 days of Shawwal, it was like, as though he fasted the whole year. And then he said, الَّذِينَ استحبوا صيام الست من شوال اختلفوا في صفة صيامها على ثلاثة أقوال. And those who considered it mustahab to fast 6 days of Shawwal, they differed concerning how it should be done into three views. But the point is, though, when he said الَّذِينَ استحبوا, that is an indication that they are also الَّذِينَ لَا يَسْتَحَبُّ, yani those who consider it mustahab. So that means there are also those who didn't consider it mustahab. That's the point that is not obvious from his statement, except that a person reflects carefully on what is being said here. So Imam Nawawi, I'm going to go from Ibn Rajab to Imam Nawawi's explanation, Sahih Muslim, of this hadith, and mention what Imam Nawawi said about that, because this is what he's alluding to. This is what Ibn Rajab is alluding to, what Imam Nawawi says in the explanation of this hadith of Sharh of Sahih Muslim. Imam Nawawi says, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever fasted Ramadan and followed with 6 days from Shawwal is as though he fasted the whole year. Fihi, this is Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, saying, Fihi dalalatun sarihatun limadhab al-Shafi'i. وأحمد وداود وموافقيهم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله في استحباب صوم هذه الستة. يعني in this hadith, in this statement of the Prophet, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan follows 6 days of Shawwal, فيه دلالة صريحة, is a clear indication that supports the madhab of Al-Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmed and Imam Dawood and those who are in agreement with them concerning the fact that it's mustahab to fast these 6 days. He said this hadith is a dalil, sarih, clear indication for the madhab of those who say it's mustahab. وَقَالَ مَالِكٌ وَأَبُو حَنِيفَةٌ يُقْرَ ذَلِكَ. But there are others who didn't agree with them. From amongst them who? Al-Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa. They considered it to be what? Makruh. Not mustahab, makruh. They said it's detestable for you to fast these 6 days. Who said this? Imam Malik said, Imam Nawawi said that Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa said, consider it to be makruh, not mustahab. So the point here is, when Ibn Rajab said, those who consider it mustahab have three views of how it should be done, he's letting us know that there are other people who don't consider it mustahab. Not everybody's in agreement with that. So from amongst those who are not in agreement with that, are the two Imams, Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahumallah. From those who consider it mustahab is the two Imams, Ash-Shafi and Ahmed. And others besides them. But from the four Imams, I mean. So the four Imams are evenly yani divided on this issue. Two of them say it's mustahab, and two of them say it's makruh. Which is very interesting if you think about it. With all due respect to the imams, this is the kind of respect that we need to have to know that there are other views and to respect their views, even if we don't agree with it, based on evidence, but to respect their views. So there are other scholars. Imam Malik said it's makruh. Abu Hanifa said it's makruh. Imam Malik said in the Muwatta, his statement concerning this, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ يَصُومُهَا. I didn't see one of the scholars fasting these 6 days. That's what Imam Malik said. فَيُقْرَ لِأَلَّا يُظَنُّ وُجُوبُهُ. So it is makruh. Yani we consider it to be makruh because what? So the people would not think that it is obligatory. So that people will not think it's obligatory. We're afraid that people are going to think it's obligatory. So we consider it to be makruh. Yani to fast these days. Otherwise people might think it's obligatory. Then Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, says, وَدَلِيلُ الشَّافِعِ وَمُوَافِقِهِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيِّ الصَّرِيِّ. So these are the two views, but the evidence for Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i and those who are in agreement with him is this hadith, which is sahih in Sahih Muslim, and it is sarih. It's clear. That is mustahab. Whoever fasted, then they will get the reward of fasting, like fasting the whole year. How could it not be mustahab? So here Imam Nawawi is telling us what? The scholars differ, and then we have to look at the evidences. It's not respect or disrespect for anybody, it's the evidences. He's saying the evidence of Imam Shafi. Not because it's Imam Shafi, and Imam Nawawi is from which madhab? Huh? Shafi'i madhab. But he says, not because yani I'm partisan to my madhab. No, he says because the dalil. And that's the way it has to be. You follow Hanbali madhab, no problem. But if the dalil is not with you, you can't just follow the madhab even though the dalil is not with you. So Imam Nawawi is saying, I'm taking this view not because it's my madhab, because I follow Imam Shafi'i. Rather, it's because the evidence is with him. And that's the way it has to be for the people of Sunnah in reality. Then he says, and this is a qa'idah. Imam Nawawi said this, rahimahullah. وَإِذَا ثَبَتَتْ السُنَّةُ لَا تُتْرَكُ لِتَرْكِ بَعْدِ النَّاسِ أَوْ أَكْثَرِهِمْ أَوْ كُلِّهِمْ لَهَا. Huh? This is a qa'idah. Imam Nawawi says, إِذَا ثَبَتَتْ السُنَّةُ, yani wherever the sunnah is confirmed, it's established that this is the sunnah. That hadith in Sahih Muslim of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu is confirming that this is the sunnah to fast these 6 days of Shawwal after you completed Ramadan. He said, whenever the sunnah is confirmed, ثَبَتَتْ لَا تُتْرَكْ. It is not to be abandoned because some of the people, meaning some of the scholars, abandoned it. Not even if most of them abandon it. Not even if all of them abandon it. That's what Imam Nawawi said. Huh? I felt the same way. When I read it, I said, I gotta share this. If somebody reminds me, I'll send you the translation of it, which we did some years ago. But this is a tremendous statement from Imam Nawawi here. Yani whenever the sunnah is established, confirmed, it should not be abandoned because some of the scholars, or most of the scholars, or all of them, even if they abandon it, it should not be abandoned. And then he says some other things. Yani anyway, we'll come to some of that in the discussion from Ibn Rajab. So that's what I wanted to read from Imam Nawawi. I'm going to go back to Ibn Rajab. He said what? Those who agreed that, or who considered it to be mustahab, they differed about how these 6 days should be fasted. Three opinions. The first opinion, أَنَّهُ يُسْتَحَبُّ سِيَامُهَا مِنْ أَوَّلْ الشَّهْرِ مُتَتَابِعَةً. The first view is that it is mustahab to fast it from the beginning of the month, yani after the day of Eid, second day of Shawwal. You should fast it. من أول الشهر متتابعةً. يعني consecutively. يعني from the day after the Eid, fast 6 days consecutively. وهو قول الشافعي. And this is the view of Imam الشافعي. وعبد الله بن المبارك. رحمهم الله. يعني Imam الشافعي died in the year 204 and عبد الله المبارك died in the year 181. So actually, this is the opinion of عبد الله المبارك before Imam الشافعي. Huh? That's important to know, like who held this view first, right? This is the first view. What's the first view? That it's mustahab, how to fast it from the first day after the Eid and to fast them consecutively. I like this view. It's my personal opinion. The second view, الثاني, أنه لا فرق بين أن يتابعه أتابعها أو يفرقها من الشهر كله وهما سواء. And the second view is that there's no difference if you do them consecutively or you fast them separately. Consecutively or separately, there's no difference if you separate them and fast them separately throughout the whole month. These two ways, to do them consecutively or separately, they are sawa. The second view is that it's equal, it doesn't matter. If you do them consecutively or otherwise, it's equal. And this is the saying of Waqi', يعني Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, and Ahmed, يعني Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, رحمهم الله. And Waqi' is obviously long before Imam Ahmed. He died in the year 197. And Imam Ahmed died in the year, Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, 241. So Waqi' ibn Jarrah, يعني he was Imam Hafiz, Muhaddith of Iraq, great, great scholar from the people of Sunnah. He was on the second opinion with Imam Ahmed, or Ahmed was with him. يعني نعم. The third opinion, أنه لا يصام عقيب يوم الفطر فإنها أيام أكل وشرب ولكن يصام ثلاثة أيام قبل أيام البيض أو بعدها وأيام البيض. Third opinion is that these 6 days should not be fasted immediately following the day of Fitr. Should not be fasted immediately following the day of Fitr. But rather they should be, because these days after the day of Fitr are days of eating and drinking. But rather they should be fast 3 days, ثلاثة أيام قبل أيام البيض. They should be fast 3 days before the white days in the middle of the month, which is which days? 13th, 14th, and 15th. In the middle of the month, they should be fast 3 days before the days, the white days. Those are days of fasting. Or after the white days, wa ayyam al-bid, along with ayyam al-bid. Meaning, 3 days before ayyam al-bid, and the ayyam al-bid, making six. Or the ayyam al-bid, and 3 days after, making six. Yani, in other words, the third view is that what? You fast the ayyam al-bid, 13th, 14th, 15th, and 3 days before or 3 days after it. That's the third view. Huh? These are, yani, aqwal, right? Aqwal means different views, right? This is their view. Yani, of course there's evidence. There's no doubt that there's some evidence. But, I mean, there's no evidence textually from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Otherwise, that would end the affair, right? But since the Prophet ﷺ says 6 days, month of Shawwal, that means it's open. But different scholars have different views. Fast them immediately. Fast them after some time. Fast them however you want to fast them. There's different views. All of them have their views based on something. Yes, for sure, there's something. But there's no textual proof supporting that view or that one. But there are, yani, evidences maybe that they're looking at. Like, for example, hastening to do good deeds, right? That's from the Sunnah. And things like that, yani. It's some evidences, of course, but not textual, specific, clear evidence. Now, Naam, the last opinion, the third opinion, that you should not fast immediately after Ayyam, Yawm al-Fitr, because these are days of eating and drinking, but rather you should fast them 3 days before Ayyam al-Bid, along with the Ayyam al-Bid, or after it, and along with the Ayyam al-Bid. هذا قوله Mu'amar. Mu'amar ibn Rashid. Ibn Rashid and Abdul Razak, yani Sana'ani. ويروى عن Atta ibn Rabah, ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah. Okay, so the third opinion is the opinion of Ma'amr ibn Rashid, who was a great scholar, imam of hadith, yani who settled in Yemen. He died in the year 153, so he was from the early generation of scholars. And along with him is Abdul Razak, yani Abdul Razak al-Sana'ani, who was a scholar from Yemen. Yani, he was the imam of the people of Yemen, scholar of hadith. They said, yani, some of the scholars refer to him as Muhaddith al-Yemen. Abdul Razak al-Sana'ani. And he is a famous scholar, Abu Bakr Abdul Razak ibn Hammam al-Sana'ani. He is the author of the book, yani, the collector of the book of hadith, the Musannaf of Abdul Razak. And there's also yani the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, yani the Shaykh of Imam Muslim. This is a famous, very, very important book of hadith, the Musannaf of Abdul Razak al-San'ani. This is the third view, the opinion of Ma'ra ibn Rashid and Abdul Razak al-San'ani. And it is also narrated from Atta ibn Rabah, ibn Abi Rabah, and he was a Tabi'i. And he was the earliest of these scholars, died in the year 114. He held this view, and he was considered to be a great scholar of fiqh and a scholar of hadith. These are three views that Ibn Rajab mentions concerning the fasting of the 6 days. What is important here is that all of these scholars are in agreement that it's mustahab, and the support for their opinion that it's mustahab is the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. And what we learn from these three views is that the scholars saw it a little bit differently, that it's mustahab to fast them, but should you do them immediately or should you delay, should you do them consecutively or do them separately? Yani, there's different views. That means al-amr wasi'a. Yani, you can do it however you like. Yani, take any of those views, they're all yani correct. I mean, meaning that they're all permissible. Naam.
It seems like the fahm of the nas was different with the first two views, linguistically, mm-hmm. understanding. When it says thumma atba'ahu, you can understand where they will come for having the sum of the tabi'ah mm-hmm. right after Ramadan. But then next it says min shawwal.
Naam.
Min shawwal.
Naam.
So maybe they understand. So min
shawwal
leaves it open.
So both of these expressions could each of them could support one view or the other. Thumma atba'ahu may support the yani the opinion of those who said hasten and do it quickly, follow it immediately. Min shawwal support the views of those who said it could be from any time in shawwal. That means it's open. So all of it is permissible. All of it is permissible. The hadith supports, yani, in some way or another, yani, the various views. Naam. Yani, even those who said, yani, ayyamul bid, yani, because this is mustahab to fast ayyamul bid. So their thinking perhaps was that what? Get the ayyamul bid in those 6 days. Because that's important, to fast ayyamul bid. Maybe if a person fasts the 6 days immediately, maybe they'll be got tired. They fast Ramadan in 6 days, they're not going to fast. They're tired now, so maybe they miss Ayyamul Bid. So there's also some thinking, right? None of them are just making this, like, just haphazard, just making it up from themselves. Now, Shuaib.
I was going to say, someone has to make up the days from the Ramadan.
Yeah.
Then they cannot do it.
If somebody has to make up the days from Ramadan, then they can't follow some of these views, now, because they have to make up the days first, now.
That seems to be clear. But now, I'm saying, is there any other view?
No, I understand. I understand the question. It's clear. It's clear. But maybe you came a little bit late because we already addressed that. Yani Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said that if a person, not due to laziness or being lackadaisical or taking the matter lightly, but due to an excuse, a legitimate excuse, they were unable, yani, to fast the 6 days of Shawwal doing Shawwal, an excuse would be that a person was sick and they couldn't fast, right? And they had to make up the days of Ramadan, so they didn't get a chance. He said if a person has an excuse and they fasted in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, labas, he said, Shaykh Uthaymeen said, labas, they should still fast, and inshallah they will get the reward. Now, so we mentioned that in the beginning. Okay, after this, Ibn Rajab says, you know what, I need to watch the time. This is a long topic. Ibn Rajab says, وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ سِيَامَ رَمَضَانَ وَإِتْبَعُهُ بِسِتٍ مِنْ شَوَّالِ يَعْدِلُ سِيَامَ الدَّهْرِ لِأَنَّ الْحَسَنَةَ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. Here Ibn Rajab says that the very reason why the fasting of Ramadan followed by 6 days of Shawwal is equal to fasting the whole year, it is because of the principle of what? That every good deed is multiplied by 10, at least. And this meaning has come mufassaran, yani this explanation of that hadith came in the hadith of Thawban from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, Siyam Ramadan, hadith of Thawban. He said, Siyam Ramadan, bi asharati ashhurin. The fast of the month of Ramadan is equal to 10 months. Wa siyam sittati ayyam بشهرين, and the fast of 6 days is equal to 2 months. فَذَلِكَ سِيَامْ سَنَةٍ. So that is equal to the fast of a whole year. That's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which explains that this, the meaning, the interpret, how we interpret that hadith, that this is actually from an authentic narration from the Prophet ﷺ. The meaning is that Ramadan and the 6 days after it, yani this is what is in reference to, Ramadan and the 6 days after is equal to fasting the whole year. خَرَّجَهُ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ وَالنَّسَائِي وَهَذَا لَفْظُهُ. And Imam Ahmed and An-Nasa'i, and this is the word of Imam An-Nasa'i, narrated this, collected this hadith, where Ibn Hibban also collected it in his Sahih. وَصَحَّحَهُ أَبُو حَاتِمُ الرَّازِي, the great scholar of hadith, Abu Hatim, declared this hadith to be Sahih, in addition to Ibn Hibban declaring it to be Sahih. وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ لَيْسَ فِي الْأَحَدِيثِ أَحَدِيثَ الْبَابِ أَصَحُّ مِنْهُ. And Imam Ahmed said, there's nothing in any of the hadith of this particular topic that's more authentic than this narration, the narration of Thawban, that's reported by Imam Ahmed and Nasa'i, Ibn Hibban, and yani Abu Hatim said that it's Sahih. Okay, after that, and he mentioned the hadith, he mentioned the views concerning it of those who said that it's mustahab. Now he changed the subject and he said, now he's talking about what? The benefits of fasting these 6 days of Shawwal. في معاودة الصيام بعد رمضان فوائد عديدة. في معاودة الصيام, يعني coming back to fasting again after fasting Ramadan, going back to fasting again, there are many benefits in it. فوائد عديدة, a number of benefits. And here he mentions, يعني four benefits. Four. Naam. He mentions four benefits. The first of them, منها أن الصيام ستة أيام من شوال بعد رمضان يستقبل بها أجر الصيام الدهر كله كما سبق. يعني that fasting the 6 days of Shawwal after the fast of Ramadan completes. Through it, you complete and perfect the reward of fasting for the whole year, as has been mentioned already in the hadith that we started with. So this is the first benefit that a person gets, the reward of fasting, like fasting the whole year. وَمِنْهَا, second benefit. Now maybe the second benefit we didn't think about before. First benefit is obvious, right? وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Second benefit. Does anybody know what the second benefit is? Anybody read this chapter already? Okay, here's the second benefit. أَنَّ السِّيَامُ شَوَّال وَشَعْبَان. Where's he going? Siyam, Shawwal, and Sha'ban. Wow. It's like what?
Like
the Nawafil? Yani, Salawat, Ratiba. The Rawatib that you pray before and after the obligatory prayer. So this is fasting before and after the obligatory fast. He said, what? Siyam, Shawwal, and Sha'ban, Kasalati as Sunan, Al Rawatib, Qabla Salat al Mafruda wa Ba'daha. Huh? Just think about that. That this fast, the fasting that we did, yani in the month of that we're doing in the month of Shawwal, along with the fasting that we did in Sha'ban. The Prophet ﷺ used to fast in Sha'ban. This is like the Sunan prayer, the Rawatib, that are performed before and after the obligatory prayer. Yani, 4 rak'ah before Dhuhr and 2 rak'ah after, 2 rak'ah after Maghrib, 2 rak'ah before Fajr, and so on like this. This is like this. فيكمل بذلك ما حصل من الفرض من خلل والنقص. So what? So the person completes and perfects, yani mends and fixed whatever occurred of any defect or shortcoming in the obligatory prayer. Yani whatever defect or shortcoming occurred during the performance of the obligatory prayer is completed and mended by the voluntary, yani, the voluntary prayers before and the voluntary prayers after the obligatory prayer. And likewise, this is like that, yani, with the obligatory fast of Ramadan. فَإِنَّ الْفَرَائِدُ تُقْمَلُ بِالنَّوَافِلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَمَا وَرَدَ ذَلِكَ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ مُتَعَدِّدَةٍ. Yani, so Indeed, the obligatory duties, they are completed and perfected by the voluntary duties on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as has been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, from in different narrations, in a number of different narrations. And from amongst them, and we don't have time to read them now, but from amongst them is a number of narrations, wording slightly different, in which the Prophet ﷺ said the first thing that a person will be called to account on Yawm al-Qiyamah, أول ما يحاسبه والعبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's any defect in the person's salat, the obligatory prayer, He will say, does my servant have any nawafil? Yani to make up for the defects in the obligatory prayer. And He said, and all the rest of the deeds will be like this. That's the summary of the hadith, yani for the sake of time. But in any case, there are various narrations like this that are authentic, showing that those voluntary prayers that you perform before and after the obligatory prayer will make up for your defects and shortcoming in your obligatory prayer. What if we didn't pray those sunnah prayers? What if we didn't pray them? Then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the obligatory prayer that has defects in it, وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ. Who can claim that the obligatory prayer is perfect every time? So therefore, it's a necessity that we perform sunnah prayers before and after to make up for the shortcomings in obligatory prayer that we will be called to account for on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And if it's defective, then you will be called to account for that. But if you have something to make up for it, that will help you a lot. This is one of the benefits of the sunnah rawatib, before and after the obligatory prayers. So the Shaykh, he says, yani, these narrations came, yani, many narrations came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most of the people in their fasting, the obligatory fast, have some naqs and khalal. They will have some defect in their fasting. فَيَحْتَجِ لَمَا يَجْبُرُهُ وَيُقْمِلُهُ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ. So they will be in need of something that will mend it, and that will complete and perfect it, yani, from other deeds that they do to make up for the obligatory. That's the second benefit of what? The fast of 6 days of Shawwal, along with the fast of any days in Sha'ban. The third benefit, the Shaykh says, أَنَّ الْمُعَاوَدَةِ مُعَاوَدَةِ السِّيَامِ بَعْدَ السِّيَامِ رَمَضَانِ عَلَامَةٌ عَلَى قُبُولِ صَوْمِ الرَّمَضَانِ. And this is also very important, that going back to fasting, after the fast of Ramadan, going back to fasting 6 days of Shawwal, is a sign of the acceptance of the fast of Ramadan. This is a sign of the acceptance of the fast of Ramadan. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts the deeds of the servant, yani إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا تَقَبَّلَ. If Allah accepts the deeds of a servant, وَفَقَهُ لِعَمُ الصَّالِ بَعْدَهُ, then He will give that person success in doing some righteous deed after, yani, the deed that he accepted. And if Allah accepted the fast of Ramadan from a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them success. He will give them the ability to do some righteous deeds after it. And this will be a sign that he has accepted their Ramadan fast. كَمَا قَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ, as some of the scholars said, that the reward of the hasana, ثَوَابُ الْحَسَنَةِ الْحَسَنَةُ بَعْدَهَا. Yani, the reward of the hasana is that Allah rewards the person with doing another hasana after that one. So whoever did a good deed and then he followed it with sayyi'ah, with evil, this is a sign of rad al-hasana wa adam qubuliha. This is a sign that his good deed was rejected. It was not accepted. If a person does a good deed and follows with an evil deed, this is a sign that it is rejected. His deed was rejected and Allah didn't accept it. So again, this is a very important reason why we should be striving to fast these days of Shawwal. Perhaps it is a sign for us that Allah, if He enables us to fast these days, it's a sign that He has accepted our fast of Ramadan. And that's for deeds in general. And that's for deeds in general. Which we'll come back to this a little bit. The fourth point. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ سِيَامْ رَمَضَانْ يُوجِبُ مَغْفِرَةَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ كَمَا سَبَقَ ذِكْرُهُ. And the fast of Ramadan necessitates forgiveness of what has preceded it of sins, as we have mentioned previously. And that the fasting people who fasted Ramadan, يُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَهُمْ فِي يَوْمَ الْفِطْرَةِ وَهُوَ يَوْمَ الْجَوَائِزِ. And that the fasting people who fasted Ramadan, they will be given their full reward on the day of Fitr, that is the day of Jawa'iz, the day of being given, yani the prizes, yani for those who were successful in fasting Ramadan. فَيَكُونُ مُعَاوَدَةُ السِّيَامِ بَعْدَ الْفِطْرَ شُكْرًا لِهَذِهِ النِّعْمَةِ. So in this case, going back to fasting after the fast of Ramadan Yani after the fitr, after the Eid al-Fitr, then this would, going back to fasting is a manifestation of gratitude, shukran, for the ni'mah, right? The ni'mah of what? Of yani what you were giving, the gifts, the prizes that you were giving for the completion of the fast of Ramadan. So this is a way of expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا نِعْمَةَ عَظَمْ مِنْ مَغْفِرَةُ الذُّنُوبِ. And there is no ni'mah that is greater than forgiveness of sins. Yani if a person, if Allah accepted their fast of Ramadan, from the rewards that Allah would give, the prizes on the day of yani fitr, is that a person's sins would be forgiven. What greater ni'mah than forgiveness of one's sins? Then this ni'mah requires shukr. Requires shukr, gratitude. And that gratitude is expressed in what? Fasting, yani, after the day of fitr. The Prophet ﷺ, a proof for this view, he said the Prophet ﷺ used to stand, yani, in prayer in the night until his feet became swollen. And it would be said to him, أَتَفَعْلُ ذَلِكَ وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Yani, are you doing that, standing in the night so long until your feet are swollen up, while Allah has promised that He will forgive you your sins, yani, that preceded and that which is to come. And here, I don't want to go into discussion about this because time is very short, but we should know that, yani, مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, yani, it doesn't mean sins like sins of the normal people. Sins of the normal people is lying and stealing and drinking and gambling. No, the Prophet ﷺ wasn't doing any of that. But his sins is like some of the scholars said, that he fell short in certain area, in the things that he used to do, like the dhikr of Allah constantly. Sometime he left the dhikr of Allah, and he played with his family, or he enjoyed the company of his family, and he left the remembrance of Allah for a moment. That for him, yani, is a naqs, is a defect in his normal practice of remembering Allah, ala kulli ahyan, all the time. So that for the Prophet ﷺ is considered something that he will seek forgiveness for. But Allah had already forgiven him everything that preceded and what is to come. فَيَقُولُ. Then the Prophet ﷺ, when they said that to him, are you doing like this, standing like this until your feet are swollen, when Allah has already forgiven you whatever shortcoming you had that occurred or that will occur? And he would say, what? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not then, if Allah has given me this favor like this, should I not then be a grateful abd, worshipper? Naam. In this hadith reported in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. وَقَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عِبَادَهُ بِشُكْرِ النِّعْمَةِ صِيَامِ رَمَضَانِ بِإِظْهَارِ ذِكْرِهِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْوَاءِ شُكْرِهِ. And here Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, Allah has commanded His servants to express gratitude for the ni'mah, the blessing of fasting Ramadan, by openly displaying the remembrance of Him, and other than that, of the types of shukra. Yani, one of the ways of expressing shukra of Allah is by the dhikr of Allah, the praise of Allah, the glorification of Allah. That's one of the ways of shukra, expressing shukra. And Allah has commanded us to do this in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 185th ayat, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And so that you may complete the number of days, and that you may declare the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, for that which He has guided you to. And that perhaps you will be thankful. Yani Allah has commanded that we complete the number of days and that we express His greatness for what He has guided us to, and that perhaps we may be grateful. This is a means of expressing gratitude. So from the shukra of the abd for his Rabb, for his enabling him to fast the month of Ramadan and aiding and assisting him in completing the month of Ramadan and forgiveness of his sins, yani from the whole of the shukra that is upon us for all of this, for enabling us to fast that month and helping us and forgiving us our sins, yani from the shukra is that a person fast and yasuma lahu shukran aqiba dhalika, that after this that we should fast to express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from yani the reasons why a person should be fasting the month 6 days of Shawwal to show gratitude for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He enabled us to fast this month of Ramadan, and then all the blessings that came with it, including the greatest of them, forgiveness of our sins. And some of the Salaf, it is said that some of the Salaf, if they were given success to stand in the night in prayer, one night from the nights, أَصْبَحَ فِي نَهَارِهَا صَائِمًا وَيَجْعَلْ سِيَامَهُ شُكْرًا لِلْتَوْفِيقِ لِلْقِيَامِ, that some of the Salaf, if they were given success by Allah to stand in the night prayer in one night, then they will begin the morning fasting, and they will make this fast, yani, the expression of their gratitude for Allah giving them success to stand in the night. And this, yani, reminds us that if Allah has given us success to do anything of good, any type of worship, then we must express gratitude for that, because success in doing good is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that Wuhayb ibn Ward, and he was from the Atba' al-Tabi'een, they said that he was a great worshipper, and he was one of the narrators of Hadith. He died in the year 153. وَكَانَ وُهَيْبْ إِبْنِ وَرْضٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ يُسْأَلْ عَنْ ثَوَابْ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ كَالْتَوَافِ وَنَحْوِهِ فَيَقُولُ لَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْ ثَوَابِهِ وَلَكِنْ سَلُوا مَا الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي عَلَى مَنْ وُفِّقَ لِهَذَا الْعَمَلِ مِنْ الشُّكْرَ لِلْتَوْفِيقِ وَلِإِعَانَةَ عَلَيْهِ. Yani, when he was asked by some people about what is the reward for doing a good deed, like for example the tawaf of the Kaaba, he might be asked, what is the reward for this? And he would say to them, don't ask about its reward, but rather ask what it is that is incumbent upon the one who has been given success to do such a good deed, what is incumbent upon them of gratitude for Allah enabling them and helping and assisting them to be able to do it. Yani, don't worry about what the reward is, worry about what is upon you now in expression of gratitude to Allah for enabling you to do that deed. And then he mentions what appears to be some poetry. إِذَا أَنْتَ لَمْ تَزْدَدْ عَلَى كُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ لِمُولِيكَهَا شُكْرًا فَلَسْتَ بِشَاكِرٍ. Yani, if you did not increase, yani, in some good for every ni'mah that Allah has given to you, yani, to express gratitude by doing more good deeds as an expression of gratitude for what Allah has given to you, فَلَسْتَ بِشَاكِرٍ, then you are not a grateful one. Yani, if Allah has given you something of good, then you must express gratitude, and the expression of gratitude is not in saying, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, but rather it is in doing good deeds. Good deeds as an expression of one's gratitude. So every ni'mah that Allah has given to His abd, whether it's in His deen or in His dunya, it requires shukra, yani, gratitude for that ni'mah. And then the tawfiq li shukra alayha ni'matun ukhra tahtaj ila shukrin thanin. So then, if the person expresses gratitude for the ni'mah that Allah gave them, then Allah enabling him to express this gratitude for that ni'mah, Allah enabling him to express gratitude is another favor from Allah that also requires another expression of gratitude. Subhanallah. ثم التوفيق للشكر الثاني للشكر الثاني نعمة أخرى تحتاج إلى شكر آخر وهكذا أبدا. And then the success that Allah gave the person to express gratitude a second time is also another favor from Allah that also requires another expression of gratitude. And in this way, yani, it's unending. Therefore, Ibn Rajab says, وَحَقِيقَةُ الشُّكْرَ الْاِعْتِرَافُ بِالْعَجْزِ عَنِ الشُّكْرَ. Yani, the reality of gratitude is that a person acknowledge, admit, confess their inability to fulfill the right of Allah of gratitude. Yani, that one doesn't have the ability to fulfill it. But we do the best that we can. He mentioned poetry again. إِذَا كَانَ شُكْرِي. How much time? We have a few minutes. إِذَا كَانَ شُكْرِي. إِذَا كَانَ شُكْرِي نعمة الله نعمة Yani if my expressing gratitude for the favor of Allah, if that expressing gratitude is a ni'mah, another ni'mah, عَلَيَّ لَهُ فِي مِثْلِهَا يَجِبُ الشُّكْرَ, then it is incumbent upon me to offer to Allah, and it's obligatory to express gratitude again. فَكَيْفَ بُلُوغَ الشُّكْرَ إِلَّا بِفَضْلِهِ, so how can a person actually reach the level of gratitude to Allah except بِفَضْلِهِ, except by His favor and His bounty? وَإِنْ طَالَتْ الْأَيَّامِ وَاتَّصَلَ الْعُمْرَةِ, even if the days were long, yani meaning if a person lived a long life and their life continued for a long time, how can a person actually achieve the gratitude that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here Ibn Rajab goes now to talk about what? Yani the other side. As far as the person who meets the ni'mah of tawfiq lissiyam Ramadan birtikab al-ma'asi ba'dahu, what about the person who in the face of the ni'mah that Allah has given him success to fast the month of Ramadan, and what does he return it with? With yani the commission of sins after Allah gave him success in fasting Ramadan. Instead of expressing gratitude, he what? He engages in disobedience to Allah. فَهُوَ مِنْ فِعْلِ مَنْ بَدَّلَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا, this is the action of the person who exchanges the ni'mah of Allah with kufr, yani ingratitude. In exchange for the ni'mah of Allah, they express ingratitude. So if a person made a firm determination to fast, and he during his fast, if he made a firm determination to go back to sinning after the completion of the fast of Ramadan, فَسِيَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ مَرْدُودُ وَبَابُ الرَّحْمَةِ فِي وَجْهِهِ مَسْدُودُ, yani if a person while they were fasting Ramadan said, I can't wait till this month is over, I'm going to go back to smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and stealing and lying and gambling and lottery tickets, yani once Ramadan is over, I'm finished with this stuff, I'm going back to my business. He said, if a person made a firm resolve during his fast to go back to sinning after he completed the fast of Ramadan, then his fasting is rejected, is returned to him, rejected. And the door of rahmah is closed in his face. وَقَالَ كَعَبْ مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ وَهُوَ يُحَدِّثُ نَفْسُهُ أَنَّهُ إِذَا أَفْطَرَ رَمَضَانَ أَنْ لَا يَعْصِيَ اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ مَسْأَلَةٍ وَلَا حِسَابٍ, yani whoever fasted Ramadan and he is within himself saying, yani convincing himself, reminding himself that when the fast of Ramadan is over, I will not be disobedient to Allah, this person has entered the Jannah without being questioned and without being taken to account. وَمَنْ صَمَ رَمَضَانَ وَهَدِّثْ نَفْسَهُ أَنَّهُ إِذَا أَفْتَرَى أَصَى اللَّهِ فَسِيَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ مَرْضُودٌ, and whoever fasts the month of Ramadan while he is telling himself, and once this fast is over, I'm going to be disobedient to Allah, then his fast is rejected. And then the shaykh, he takes it to another yani point, and we don't have a lot of time left. Allahu musta'an. Listen to this statement. عَمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنْ لَا يَنْقَضِي حَتَّى يَأْتِيَهُ أَجْلُهُ, yani the action, the deeds, the duties of the believer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not end until his appointed time comes, until the time of his death. وَقَالَ الْحَسَنُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لِعَمَلِ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَجَلًا دُونَ الْمَوْتِ ثُمَّ قَرَعَ وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَعْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينِ, yani Surah Al-Hijj, 16th Surah, 99th Ayah. And he said that indeed Allah has not made for the deeds, the duties of the believer, any time for it to end. And it doesn't end with the last day of fasting Ramadan. It doesn't end with that. Rather, there's no end to the duties that are upon the believer except death. And then to support this, he read the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commanding, wa'abud rabbaka, worship your Lord, continuously, ongoing, non-stop, hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, until that which is certain comes, that is, al-maut, death. And then the shaykh, he says, so therefore, yani it never ends, right? We are constantly required to be in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, therefore these months and these years and these nights and these days, all of them, كلها مقادر للآجال ومواقيت للأعمال. These months and years and days and nights are all only measures for the lifespans of the people. ومواقيت يعني appointed times and seasons for deeds to be done at certain times and in certain seasons, in day or in night, in a certain month or in a certain يعني time. After this, ثم تنقضي صريعا وتمضي جميعا. And then after that, the time will end, يعني will go quickly, and everyone يعني will pass away. والذي أوجدها وابتدعها وخصها بالفضائل وأوضعها باق لا يزول ودائم لا يحول هو في جميع الأوقات إله واحد ولأعمال عباده رقيب مشاهد. Here the Sheikh says, so the one who has يعني brought these things into existence, these times, day and night and month and year and seasons, the one who has brought this into existence, who have devised this system of time and specialized or singled out virtuous يعني virtues for certain days or nights or times or months, the one who has done this, he is baqin, he is lasting, everlasting, he will never cease. He is daim, he is constant, ongoing, he will never change. And he is in all times, in every day, in every month, in every season, he is the one that deserves to be worshipped. And the deeds of his servants, he is raqibun, monitoring them, mushahidun, witnessing them. And this statement here requires yani some time, but we don't have time. But the bottom line is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one who set up this whole system. He's the one who made certain times, certain duties, yani for the believers. Well, yani, he is the ilah in every time, in every season, and he is monitoring, witnessing our deeds. فَالسُّبْحَانَ مَنْ قَلَّبَ عِبَادَهُ فِي اِخْتِلَافَ الْأَوْقَاتِ بَيْنَ وَظَائِفَ الْخِدَمِ لِيُصْبِغَ عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا فَوَاضِ النِّعْمِ وَيُعَامِلَهُمْ بِنِهَايَةِ الْجَوْدِ وَالْقَرْمِ. So subhanallah, yani indeed Allah is the one who is free from imperfections, the one who caused his servants to turn over in different times from different duties of service to him, so that he may yani shower upon them in those different times and in those different duties yani the excesses of his bounties, and so that he may yani treat them with nihayat al-jawl qaram, yani that he will yani treat us with yani generosity and honor yani for the doing yani for fulfilling those deeds that he has placed upon us. And then the Shaykh, he closes yani alaykum salam. He doesn't close, no, I'm sorry. But he says here, so when the three noble months ended, that is, the first of them being the month of Haram, yani al-Muharram, and the last of them being the month of Siyam, Ramadan, when those months ended, then after them came the 3 months, the months of Hajj, pilgrimage to the house, to the sacred house. Yani there was those months and then there are more months. Yani meaning that seasons are following seasons. So just as the one who fasts the month of Ramadan and stands in its nights will be forgiven whatever has preceded of his sins, so likewise the one who makes pilgrimage to the house and he didn't engage in any yani unbecoming, obscene behavior or speech, and he didn't commit sins, then he will return raj'a مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. He will return in the same condition like the one was on the day that his mother gave birth to him. And this particular yani statement here is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is very important, and we don't have a lot of time, but I'm just going to mention the summary of the discussion here. Yani the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever performs Hajj and they didn't engage in obscenities and sin, then they will return in the condition like the day that their mother gave birth to them. Ya'ani, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajj Al-Asqalani says, the meaning of كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ أي بغير ذنب. He will return without any sin. In another place in Fath al-Bari, al-Hafiz says, أي عارياً من الذنوب. Completely free from any kind of sin. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar says, وَظَاهِرُهُ غُفْرَانَ الصَّغَائِرُ وَالْكَبَائِرُ. يعني the apparent meaning of this hadith is that a person will have forgiveness of their lesser sins and their greater sins. This is what Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said in Fath al-Bari, وَإِلَيْهِ ذَهَبَ الْقُرْتُبِي وَالْقَاضِي إِيَّادِ. And likewise, they were inclined to this view, that is, Al-Imam al-Qurtubi and Al-Imam al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahumullah, that this forgiveness of sins here means major as well as lesser sins. Some other scholars said, no, yani, it's only yani related to the sins that are connected to the rights of Allah. Al-Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, the meaning of this statement of the Prophet, whoever performs Hajj without engaging in obscenities and not committing sin, they will return like the day the mother gave birth to them. He said this means that the person who avoided that which Allah has prohibited, and the person who yani didn't leave off anything that Allah had made obligatory, yani he didn't do anything that Allah made haram, and he yani because had he done so, then he would have engaged in disobedience or sin. Whoever performs Hajj and he didn't engage in these things, فَإِنَّهُ يخرج من ذلك نقيا من الذنوب. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said what? The person who performs Hajj like this, they will come out of it يعني completely purified from any sin, in the same way that a person when he came out of the womb of his mother was. He doesn't have any sin. Likewise, the person who performs this Hajj, he will not have any sin. If he performs Hajj with these conditions, then he will be completely free of any sin. This is in the Fatawa of Ibn Uthaymeen, yani volume 21, page 20. And he also said in another place, volume 21, page 40, ظاهر الحديث أن الحاج يكفر الكبائر. يكفر الكبائر وليس لنا أن نعد الظاهر إلا بدليل. يعني the apparent meaning of this hadith is that Hajj yani expiates for the major sins, and it's not for us to turn away from or to leave or abandon the apparent meaning without a delil. Some of the scholars said, as long as the five prayers a day expiate for the major sins, as long as you avoided major sins, this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars, that it expiates, yani, for your sins as long as you avoided the major sins. And they said that the five prayers of the day are greater than Hajj and more beloved to Allah than Hajj. So the Hajj then, yani, how can it then expiate even for major sins? Shaykh Uthaymeen says, وَلَكِن نَقُولُ هَذَا ظَاهِرُ الْحَدِيثِ وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي حِكْمِهِ شُعُونَ وَالثَّوَابِ لَيْسَ فِيهِ قِيَاسِ. Yani, this is the apparent meaning of the hadith, and Allah, yani, there's wisdom in whatever Allah does, the way He does it, and reward for any deed, there's no qiyas upon it. In any case, yani, this is a matter of great importance. The person who fasts the month of Ramadan, they will yani be rewarded with having their sins forgiven, and the person performs Hajj, likewise, they will be rewarded with having their sins forgiven. فَمَا يَمْدِي مِنْ عُمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ سَاعَةٌ. So there is not 1 hour that goes by in the life of the believer, except that there is upon him a duty from the duties of obedience that he owes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every hour, every time in our life. So the mu'min, the believer, is constantly going about from one duty to another, getting nearer to his Rabb, وَهُوَ رَاجٍ خَائِفٍ, while he is in hope of Allah's reward and fear of his punishment. So the one who loves Allah, he doesn't become tired from getting near to Allah with doing voluntary deeds, nor does he lose hope of getting near to Allah or earning his pleasure. So whoever does an act of obedience from any of the acts of obedience, and he finishes from it, then the sign of its acceptance is that he connects to it another act of obedience. And the sign of its rejection is that he follows it with an act of disobedience. And what could be better than a hasana ba'da sayyi'ah? That a person follows up an evil deed with a good deed that will erase it. And what is better than that is that a person follows up a good deed with another good deed. And what is more evil than a sin that follows a hasana? That sin erases the good deed. and eliminates it. And a relapse to sinning is more difficult than the original sickness. Perhaps it would destroy the person. So let us ask Allah for as-sabat, to be firm upon ta'at, acts of obedience, until our death, and that we seek refuge in Him from our heart turning from al-haw ba'd al-qawr, yani that we go back to kufr after iman, or that we go back to sin after obedience. And what is more distressing than the humiliation of sin after the honor of obedience? And what is yani more evil than the poverty of greed after yani the sufficiency of contentment and satisfaction with what Allah has given us? He said, O Shabab of Tawbah, do not go back to nursing, suckling the breast of hawa, desires, after you have been weaned from it. And suckling is only fit for children, for infants. It's not fit for men. So get off of it and be a man. He said, لَكِنْ لَبُدْ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. But this requires patience on the bitterness of the weaning, yani weaning off the hawa, the desires that we were following. Getting away from it requires patience. But if a person is patient, then they will be able to substitute the taste of their hawa, yani the ladha, the delicious taste of following the desires, it will be substituted by the sweetness of iman in the hearts. And whoever gave up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with that which is better than it. And he closed with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 70th Ayat, إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُعْتِيكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ رَحِيمٌ. That if Allah knows in your hearts that there is khayr, yani iman and ikhlas, then He will give you better than what has been taken from you, and He will forgive you your sins. Allah will replace whatever we gave up for the sake of Allah with that which is better than it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.